Morning, everybody. My name is Joe Persh. It's my honor to be senior pastor here at Valley Forth Church. And, you know, today is a little different Sunday. It's a baptism Sunday. And we've had so many come and want to be baptized this morning that, you know what? I won't be doing a full preaching message. Let me try that again. You know what? I won't be doing a full preaching message. The moderator of my elder board just clapped. I'm in real pain, man. That's a cardiac event for a preacher. No, I'm just kidding. The people will be doing a lot of the preaching today. Brothers and sisters in Christ who are going to be baptized this morning. And it's really a joyous time when we're able to do this. And in preparation for that, I am going to do a short teaching. Short. I've been practicing at home with the microwave timer. Just bing. Okay, I got to stop. I do want to give you a little understanding, though, from the Bible as we prepare for baptisms about what baptism is all about, though. I go back in my mind's memory. I've been in church a long time, and I haven't heard that much teaching on baptism. I've seen baptisms, and sometimes they come and go so fast, I hardly know what happened, but you know, it's important. The Scripture says that we as elders and pastors are to teach you in the Scriptures and in the practices of the church. So I want to just give a couple of ideas about baptism to you and really answer the key questions about it. And there's a little, you can follow along in your app. On, if you've got our church app, the notes are right there and there's an insert. You can take notes. We're just going to take about 5 minutes here as we begin, as people are preparing to be baptized this morning. And I want to give you the key questions and answer those about baptism. You might be new to Christianity and wonder about what's going on. You might have a religious background. Does this fit yours? You might be a new Christian wondering, should I be baptized? So let me talk with you a little bit about it. So I want you to turn in your Bibles, and we can also see up on the screen Matthew 28. 19 to 20. This is where baptism is described by the Lord Jesus. This is the great mission of the church, all churches. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Notice this is for the church until the end of the age, till he comes. Notice that we're to not only make disciples, lead people to faith in Jesus, but we're to baptize them. So when you hear us as pastors baptizing the dear folks here up here in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that's in obedience to Jesus. We're living out the Scriptures 2,000 years later. Notice he also says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. What had he just commanded in the previous verse? Baptism. And sometimes we don't observe that much today, so we want to be faithful as a church. When our elders and pastors put together our mission statement as a church, several years ago now, we went back to the Bible to get our mission. We didn't give ourselves a mission. The church receives its mission from the Lord. And this was our theme verse, Matthew 28. Can you put up our mission statement real quick? Our mission statement is making, teaching, and sending disciples for the glory of God. Making, that first verse, or word rather, is helping people place faith in Jesus Christ. That's what making a disciple means. Building relationships with lost folks and boys and girls, teaching them the gospel, helping them to trust Christ, and being baptized in testimony of their faith. And so the baptism today is how we live out the first part of our mission. Now, also, we put together a vision statement about how we want to see lives change as we follow our mission. And we did this several years ago. And there's a phrase in that long vision statement that you see up on the screen. We have a vision to see more and more people trusting Christ as Savior and putting faith into action by being baptized and growing in the experience of Christian community, worship, and ministry. And you notice right in the middle there, part of our vision is seeing people place faith and then living out their faith in action by being baptized. And so that's what they're doing for us, before us today, these dear brothers and sisters, living out their faith and putting it into action. Now, you may not be that familiar with what the Bible teaches about baptism, so let me just take a couple minutes here, and I'm going to answer about three questions for you. And then we'll be baptizing and singing and worshiping together, just as the family of God. And at the very end of our service, as we conclude, I'm going to ask a final question, and you'll be the answer to that one. So I'm going to teach the answers to the first three, and you yourself will answer in your own life the last one. So what are the key questions? Well, first of all, baptism, why do we do it? Why is what we're doing today being done by us as the church? Here's my best answer. Because it's so New Testament. Isn't it? I mean, if you know your New Testament at all, you know people got saved and then they got baptized. So we want to be New Testament. We want to be biblical, right? Amen? Thank you. Okay, I'm in the right place. Okay, good. I mean, the New Testament, if you look at it, there's no concept of an unbaptized Christian. There's no free agent Christians. They're people that come to faith in Christ and they become baptized and they identify with the church, with the body of Christ. So when people repented and believed in Jesus, they were baptized. Often it was almost at the same time, immediately in the book of Acts, but not always. And it's a public profession of their faith and they identified with the body of believers publicly. They're linked together. Just one passage to show you this in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, as the church began to grow. Peter preached a great sermon there in the portico and the temple. And people were struck and they wanted to trust Christ. They were convicted of their sins. And in verse 38, they said to him, what shall we do? In verse 37 and verse 38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. So it's for every one of us, not just the brave ones, but everyone. In the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you see, they're together. And part of the reason for that is because when you're baptized, you're publicly proclaiming to believers and non-believers that you're stepping over the line and you're committing to Jesus Christ. You're committing your life. You're making a public declaration that you want to make Him the master of your future. Now, in some places, in fact, most places in the world, that can get you into trouble. It could get you into trouble in Acts chapter 2. And in many places, it's a brave thing to do. And God calls us to publicly identify. It kind of really puts some steel into your faith. Max Lucado is a favorite Christian writer of many, and he has a way of putting it into words. He said this, baptism separates the tire kickers from the car buyers. That kind of put it in a little perspective for you. I mean, you know, we can talk about Christ and be interested in Christ and be thrilled by Christ and feel good about Christ and have a lot of experiences. But when you're baptized, you're showing a pretty big commitment. Has that happened for you? Second question. Baptism, what does it mean? There's some mystery around this in some people's minds, and there really shouldn't be. It's just a public profession of your faith, and it's a way in front of other people to identify with the body of believers. That's what it is. It's that and nothing more. Now, and important, we don't believe that baptism saves a person. Baptism is not some ceremony that mysteriously, spiritually saves you and makes you eternally secure. No, baptism, it shows that you're already saved. It shows that you've trusted Christ and that you want to go into the baptism waters to proclaim your faith. So it doesn't save you, but it sure shows that you know Jesus. And therefore, in our belief system, it's for professing believers. In other words, we don't believe it in our church in baptizing infants, for example. Some of you may have been baptized as infants, or you may know that to be a practice. That doesn't make a lot of sense to us as we read the Bible, because there's no example of that in the Bible. And people were baptized after they had trusted Jesus. And so you need to have made that salvation decision personally. Does that make sense? And then afterward, you make the baptism decision personally. So it doesn't save you. It shows you're saved. It's for professing believers. Therefore, the people you'll see today have experienced the reality of Jesus in their lives. We've asked them to share their testimony of faith with us as pastors. And they'll be answering questions before you that proclaim their faith. And so that's a big part of what we do. You know, some people, one author I read this week said this way, put it this way, tragically, some people believe they're going to heaven when they die just because a few drops of water were sprinkled over their heads a few weeks after their birth. yet they have no personal faith. They've never made a personal decision and seem to be banking on a hollow ceremony to save them. That's pretty significant to think about, isn't it? Well, here's the last question. Baptism, how do we do it? You're going to see us bring a person down into the water and they're going to come back up. Why do we do it that way? It might be very unfamiliar to you. The New Testament, it might surprise you, doesn't have anything to say about some of the ways people baptize today, like sprinkling water or pouring it over a head or dabbing your forehead with water. There's lots of different ways that religious practitioners do this, but you know, as I read the Bible as a Bible teacher, going down into the water and coming up, it's what we call immersion, baptism by immersion. And that's the only thing that makes biblical sense to us as elders and pastors, because the Bible teaches that baptism also shows that you've died to an old way of life and you've been born again into a new way of life. Isn't that what happens when you trust the Lord Jesus? And baptism is an image of that. That's why we immerse people in the water. So in one final text for you, Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 to 7. This talks about the symbolism of baptism. In Romans 6, verse 3, Paul writes, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Now, that's very important in a language, isn't it? Now, the Bible says, and this is kind of mysterious, when you trusted Jesus Christ, the Lord baptized you into Christ, spiritually, invisibly. You became part of Jesus. That's why we call believers in Christ. And you're in Christ. And you died to an old way of life and you've been baptized into a new relationship with Jesus. All that happened behind the scenes supernaturally when you trusted Jesus. So we've all been spiritually baptized into the body of Christ. When a person gets physically baptized, that's a demonstration of what's already happened in their spiritual life. And it lets them proclaim, "Listen, I've left an old way of life and I want to live for a new way of life. And I'm now in Jesus. And I'm with all of you." Does that make sense? That's why believers are called to witness baptisms, to be here, to celebrate, to affirm those that are being baptized, to rejoice and worship, because it shows that we have come into a new life. Here's what one commentator said as I close. "The ordinance of baptism reflects the spiritual reality of our union with Christ in his death and resurrection. Water baptism is the outward symbol of that unity. Our physical baptism signifies the spiritual baptism that's already taken place. It's simply the public depiction of our death to sin and our new life in Christ." So when you see people go down into the water and then they come up again, dying to sin, dying to an old life, dying to all that slavery, coming up into new life and wanting to live for a new master. Ever wonder what that means? Well, now you know. And if you've met Jesus and he's changing your life, you know how beautiful a thing that is. So as pastor, I just wanted to share that with you. And we're going to rejoice as our brothers and sisters are baptized. It's family time. So our pastors are going to be baptizing, but we're going to, in a moment, invite family and friends of the ones that are being baptized to come on up and come up right on stage here and get a closer look and celebrate. We're going to be singing. Our worship team's going to come up in a moment as I pray. We're going to be singing songs together, hearing about these decisions for Christ. It's a really neat Christian family time. That's why we want all of our kids to stay today, because kids, this is part of what it means to meet Jesus. And as Pastor Josh mentioned, there's more to come. We're going to be having times for baptism more regularly, and we have others that couldn't be here today that are already set to go. So I think in September is our next. And so I just want to finish. I mentioned to you that I wanted to cover the key questions about baptism, and I asked you and answered some questions about why we do it. It's because it's so New Testament. This was as New Testament as it gets, brothers and sisters, what we experience today. And What does it mean? It's a public profession of faith, and it's a public way to identify that you've trusted Jesus. And it doesn't save you, but it shows that you're saved, right? And then why we go in out under the water. It's a sign of dying to old life and walking into new life. So those are the questions that the Bible answers. And I want to ask one final question that only you can answer in your heart of hearts. And that question is, baptism, what about you? Perhaps you've not been baptized yet. We had one of our dear ones today that saw baptism and asked, I want that. Can I be baptized? And sure enough, of course. You know, baptism is a place where you publicly commit to Jesus. And I mentioned Max Lucado earlier in my remarks, and he made another statement about baptism I think is interesting. He said, indeed, baptism is a vow. It's a promise. It's a sacred vow of the believer to follow Christ. Just as a wedding celebrates the joining of two hearts, baptism celebrates the union of sinner with Savior. I love that. And that's what we saw today. And I just want to ask you, if you're a professing believer and yet you haven't been baptized, what about you? How about you? What may be holding you back? There may be some things. Well, first of all, you might just have not really understood baptism. Because, like I said, not many times do we teach it in churches. You might have been a Christian for a while and never been taught about baptism, what it signifies, why it matters, how New Testament it really is. And, you know, well, we solved that problem today. If you've been here the whole service, now you know. So now maybe perhaps the Lord will stir your heart. If you would like to come and ask us, talk to pastors, talk to someone on our staff, and we can arrange baptism for you. There might be some that have known Christ a long time, but they weren't taught about it. And now they say, well, wait a minute. A lot of people know I've been a Christian for a while. In fact, I'm getting on in years, Pastor. You know, I think that might be a little embarrassing for me. And so, well, can I just be honest with you? I think some pride's getting in the way of your humble obedience to Jesus. And I want to ask you to really think about that. And I want you to look at that and bring that to the Lord. You know, you might have trusted Christ a long time ago, but because of poor teaching or events in your life, you've never been able to be baptized. Believe me, if you come forward and you're obedient, not only will that be a blessing to you, whether you're it doesn't matter where you are in life or how long you've been a Christian, it'll be a blessing to us. And it really is. And we've had many that have come and trusted the Lord after a long walk with God in faith to be baptized. So let the Lord deal with that in your heart. You want to talk about it? Come and talk with me, one of our pastors. You know, there's another reason that there might be that it might have kept you from being baptized. Let me just say the word busyness. I mean, just you're pulled in all directions, just like all of us. And every time you thought about it, well, something's come up, or the date hasn't worked out, or you didn't know who to ask, or it just was one more thing in life. Well, you know what? This isn't just one more thing in life. This is one of the biggest things in life. Let me repeat that. This isn't just one more thing in life. This is one of the biggest things in life. This is a declaration for Jesus. So it's not just something else. And so let me challenge you as the opportunities come around, make room for this in your life. Now, one more thing that might make you uncomfortable. As you've seen us baptize and as you've heard the testimonies, this hasn't really stirred you at all. You've never been baptized, but this hasn't really moved you at all. There's no interest in your heart at all to obey Jesus. Let me suggest something to you. That may reveal that you don't yet know Jesus. Okay? Let me just be honest with you as pastor. A lot of times we can be at church, but not yet in Christ. We can be around church, but not be His. We like it. We enjoy it. We're intrigued by it. But you know what? We have not been born again. And therefore, your heart won't desire this. So let me challenge you to consider the reality of your relationship with Jesus. Maybe you need to start there. And then you can honor Him. So that's my heart to you. Thank you for being here under the teaching of the Word and the living out of the Word of God today. It's been a thrill. And Like I said, we're going to be baptizing more frequently, and some have already talked to us. You talk to us. Leave us a contact online on our new website. There's a place for you to just, on one of the pull-downs, to actually say, yes, I'm interested in baptism. We get those notes confidentially as pastors, and we'll be happy to help. And so rejoice in what God is doing and how the church is moving forward. I just thank the Lord for all of this.